everybody. Welcome to another edition of Across the Pitch. I am your only host tonight, Mike Barrera, on March 18th, 2022. We're having some technical difficulties on Dave's side, but as they say, the show must go on. We were trying to only do a quick show tonight anyway. My kid's been sick all week. I'm kind of under the weather. I know Dave's, with his time difference and work, has been a bit hectic this week. But regardless, we wanted to jump on at least for a few minutes. So hopefully Dave's technical issues can kind of get worked out and he can get on. But otherwise, we're going to do the solo today. If you want to chime in on the comments, feel free. I've done a solo show before, so bear with me here as I get through it. Before I get into the union news, we are going to go through the sponsors real quick to kind of get them out of the way. So first up, we have Manscaped. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code AATBIRDS at manscaped.com. Next up, we have OddsJam, the number one software platform for sportsbook bandits. They use an arbitrage calculator and more, so you never lose a bet again. Sign up today at OddsJam.com via AATBIRDS. We have La Terrain Watches. LaTerrain.com, use codes AATBIRDS at 10% off with it, or for 10% off at the checkout. And then next up there, we have the Statement Games at statementgames.com for a fun new way to fantasy sports entertainment. Win gift cards and prizes. It's free to sign up at statementgames.com. And lastly, the Across the Pitch shop or gear at the aatsportsnetwork.com/shop. You can buy all the show gear as well as the show's items. They have Burning Bridges, the Barrera's Bucket Show that I have, as well as Chips and Dish. Johnny always puts out some great gear as well for the Eagles and everything else Philadelphia related. So check out aatsportsnetwork.com/shop. So again, it's just me today. Like I said, Dave's having some technical issues, so bear with me. We're going to go through some of the key notes from this past week, as well as a quick review of last week's game, as well as a quick preview for tomorrow's match at 1 p.m. against NYCFC. I will be covering that match for AAT Sports. I won't be at Yankee Stadium. I wish I could be, but I will be, covering via Twitter live, and if I have the chance to do the press conference afterwards, I'll also do that as well. I have some family coming in from California, so I might not be able to stay for the whole thing, but I'll do my best to cover Jim Curtin's press conference in some way or form. So first up, as we want to look at some notes from this past week, some of the biggest news is that Jose Riasco has been tied to sign with the Philadelphia Union. For many fans, it's pretty exciting stuff. He will be essentially the fifth striker as an option for Jim Curtin. As we've seen so far with Mikel Ua's current health situation, along with the question marks that are surrounding Sergio Santos and Corey Burke, having that fifth option is, of course, very intriguing. There's a lot of promise that comes with him from what the reports are showing. So it looks like I assume he'll start with U2 and then kind of work his way up to the first team. Not entirely sure exactly how they're going to go about that. But Jose Riasco should be joining the club for a fee in excess of $1 million. So very exciting stuff for the Union for what they've been able to bring from overseas. And then next up, in terms of what we have from our homegrown talents, we have four homegrowns named to the U.S. Men's National U20 team headed to Argentina. We have Paxton Aronson, Jack McGlynn, Quinn Sullivan, and Brendan Craig. So a lot of exciting stuff for our young homegrowns to be looking out for. And then as well, like I said, Riasco coming in. So a lot of young talent on the squad, even not just the homegrowns. We have players like Leon Flock, for example, who are, basically fill the seats now. People want to come and see these young guys play. So really exciting stuff to see, especially, homegrown talent being called to the U.S. men's national team in some way or form. So again, that is the recap of some of the younger players and the news in that department. But in terms of the press conference, Jim Curtin spoke the other day to the press via Zoom. And he just basically touched upon the upcoming game against NYCFC. He highlights, yes, of course, they kind of caught us on a rough patch with the whole COVID situation, which is very unfortunate. But at the same time, tip your hat off to NYCFC. They did the job they had to do, and they managed to bring home the title. Whether you put an asterisk on that or not is kind of, I guess, irrelevant. But, or up to you, I should say. So we face NYCFC this coming Saturday, tomorrow. I know a lot of fans are excited to get up there and to kind of, voice their displeasure and boo at that very, very tiny banner that they put up. If you haven't seen it yet, if you go on Twitter or Facebook or anything else, NYCFC put up a banner in Yankee Stadium that is literally the size of like a poster board for their title championship. So it's pretty amusing. Another reason to make fun of them in that very small stadium that they play in. Well, Yankee Stadium is big, but the field itself is pretty small. So I'm sure that'll be a very tough match. I know Jim always make sure to speak highly on them and how well they play on defense and press. So you know, knowing the Union's history in that ballpark, I expect a tight game, probably 1-1. I would be shocked if they won. I feel like personally a draw is a good outcome for tomorrow's match. But at the same time, I wouldn't be completely surprised of a loss as well. And Dave tells me he's about to join the conversation in a few moments. So again, like I said, some technical difficulties, but he's going to be joining in a second. I'm about to tell him now to come join the show. So anyway, besides that, we did have a match this past weekend. As you know, the Philadelphia Union welcomed the San Jose Earthquakes to Chester, and we were able to pull out a 2-0 win. I know the weather conditions were far from ideal. It was very cold. I know a lot of people were bundled up, and it still just wasn't good enough for them to stay warm. So a credit to all the fans who came out. I'm sure it looked cold on TV. I can't imagine actually being in that environment yet last weekend. But the Union pulled off the 2-0 win, their first home win of the year. As you remember, they tied against Minnesota earlier in the season. So good to get that first home win off your chest and kind of get the ball rolling. It is the best start in Philadelphia Union history with the 7 points that they've earned over these three matches. But at the same time, it is only the start. We've seen slow starts turn into great endings and vice versa. We've seen good starts turn into bad endings. So we want to keep the momentum going now as we travel to New York City. But in terms of the positives that we saw, one of the things that were important is the fact that Nathan Harriel played again in place of Olivier Mbiza, which I think is, you know, gives a lot of attention to now really how Jim views him off the bench for Olivier and how he views Harriel coming as a starter. I thought he played well. He almost actually had a very impressive header. So I like what he brings offensively. I think Olivier, although he does have some advantages in terms of crossing the ball into the middle, you never saw him really attacking with a header or a good shot on net as often as I feel like Harriel can do. And we've already seen a couple times where Nathan's had a chance to get a header for a goal. So he looks small on the field in terms of stature, but I really am impressed with how high he can get up in the air. And he's played well. I mean, credit to him. I expect him to start tomorrow. I'd be shocked if Olivier was on the field tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon rather. So I like what I've seen so far from him. I'm hoping now for him to get his first goal or at least another assist this season. But the more, I guess, frustrating news for Philadelphia Union fans was the fact that Mikael Uwa was not playing. They found out noon on Saturday afternoon that he was not going to be able to play. It looks like he has a bit of a quad issue. So if you watch the press conference after the game, you know that Jim said that they may have pushed him a little too hard. They're trying to get him up to speed and trying to get him acquainted with the roster. And it seems like they may have push him a bit too hard. So as a precaution, they said, why bother? Why play him? There's really no need to kind of force an injury. So as of tomorrow's match, I do believe he could see 15 minutes, but at the same time, if they don't feel that he's ready, don't push him. Don't force an injury that could happen if you can kind of prevent it. If they lose to NYCFC in the fourth match of the year, then so be it. I mean, it's not the end of the world. They haven't lost yet. So it's not the end of the world. If they lose that match, I'd rather have Mikael healthy for the rest of the year. So I wouldn't expect him to play. But of course, as Union fans, we know we've been so excited to see him on this field and to contributing for more than just 15 minutes when they're down a man against Montreal. So I really want to see what he can do. But you know what? If we have to wait a week, so be it. But I think the biggest concern for Philly fans is the fact that the offense, even though it looked so dangerous last Saturday, it also looked very much limited in what they could do when it came to finishing. So even though it was a 2-0 win, it could have very well been a 3-4-0 game. Sergio Santos, for as great as he is in terms of getting behind the back four and as great as he is with his speed and with his just, you know, strength of being able to kind of push defenders off the ball, he cannot finish as well as we would like him to. One example was when Daniel Gazdag had just this beautiful through ball right in between the defenders, and it got Sergio running up, you know, right towards the keeper. And unfortunately, he was not able to put it on target, just missed a bit to, you know, wide left. So that's an example where someone like Mikael or even Casper, I know for whether you hate him or love him, he probably would have finished that, at least gotten it more on target. So I really want to see Sergio take that next step in terms of finishing his plays. Because we saw him at least 3 or 4 chances where he could have scored a goal. Here's Dave. Here we go. Yo, buddy. What's going on,
Yeah.
Dave? I've been carrying the show for 11 minutes. So, hello, how you doing
Well,
tonight?
I kind of fell victim to daylight saving time and well, daylight saving in terms of thinking 8:30 was 1:30 over here, not 12:30. So
No,
apologies. Massive, massive, massive apologies, to guys. And again, massive apologies to you, Mike.
you're good, man. Hey, listen, the
That's
show must go on, Dave. That's it. It's some technical issues, timing issues, not a big deal. Basically, just to kind of fill you in on what you may or may not have missed on the line. So we talked about Mika Uwe being possibly limited 15 minutes this week, if not just completely off. I mentioned Riasco being signed. I mentioned the four homegrowns being added to the U.S. men's national team. And I was just kind of talking about the past game we saw. So you really came in at the perfect time. So
Oh.
what do you think about last week? How did you rate the performance overall? Was there anything in particular that stood out to you?
Again, I think comparison to the first two games, it was much more comfortable in terms of defensively. They weren't really tested that much. I can't really remember a big chance that San Jose had. And they were somewhat clinical in a sense, I guess. I mean, obviously, when the best chances present themselves, they took him. Obviously, I think Sergio could have probably had three or four goals if he, if he could, hit the back of the net. But I think overall, I think it was a clinical and solid performance. They just didn't look too troubled, as opposed to how they did it in against Minnesota and Montreal. So again, I think it was all around. It was a nice sort of performance to get the to get our feet off the ground. And I think this is probably the most ununion-like start to a season we've ever seen.
Yeah, literally, it's the best start they've ever had points-wise to start the year. So you mentioned Sergio Santos. I was just talking about him as you joined the podcast. So I felt the same way. I thought that he left at least one or two goals on the board. And I placed the bet for him to score a goal, and of course he misses by a few inches. I mean, I feel like this is what Sergio Santos is. He's a dangerous attacker, but he's not a lethal attacker. He's not someone who's going to put a game away when you need him to. If anything, right now, I think Corey Burke is that answer. Corey Burke's looked like he's in good form. He's finishing his plays. I think he's the better of the two right now in terms of finishing. But how do you think Sergio can just improve his game? I mean, this is who he is as a striker.
I mean, I think at this point, the age is out as well. It's probably he is who he is as a striker. He's a quick pace guy. He will stretch the game. He will cause havoc for opposition defenses, and he'll give them sleepless nights. But ultimately, we probably won't ever really see the Sergio Santos we saw during the MLS's Back Cup and that 2020 season where he was a top goal scorer. He did score vital goals, and somewhat I don't really know what happened. He sort of became a man possessed. Well, he did take the key chances. I think that's just who he is. He's a player that he'll get the correct areas, but it might take him 4 or 5 goes to actually score.
Yeah, I agree. I know we mentioned last year we had the Toronto, I think the Toronto FC game at home, where he just had like the greatest first half in the club history. I mean, if we could see that even just once a month, I mean, how dangerous he could be. But he's just not. I don't know. It just seems like he's not that player. Honestly, I'm more impressed that he made it the entire game. Jim Curtin. I mean, like, I'm not trying to be funny. Like, I'm like serious. Like, he was getting banged up like crazy, and he played 98 minutes. I mean, he played the whole match. And Jim mentioned after the game that he was basically he didn't want to put Quinn Sullivan or somebody else out of position up top. He liked what Sergio was doing in terms of his pace, which we've again, highlighted before. So, I mean, yeah, did he not score? Sure, he didn't score. But I think the most important thing is the fact that he survived a game that he got beat up like crazy. Because he's going to be important to this roster.
No, sorry. No, so I think again, she said it was definitely a shock the fact that she managed to play the full 90 minutes, whether that was planned or not, or because obviously Corey went off after 70 minutes. I don't know if that was the plan either, but yeah, I mean, again, maybe Jim's just been over precautious with Sergio all this time, and yeah, she can play the full 90 minutes. He just doesn't want to risk his body, but again, obviously, it's great to see, and somewhat frustrating as well, obviously, that it's like Uwe, who it probably isn't going to play again this week.
Probably not.
And we obviously waited all this time to have him. The hype last week was okay, he's actually going to play the full game and he's going to cause mayhem. We may not see Uwe for almost a month. No.
Yeah, I don't want to rush him back. If the Union go out to NYC and win or draw, and they're still in good form, they're still playing well, why rush him back? Why, yeah. You know, maybe 20 minutes the next match, maybe, you know, 60 minutes in that next match after that. Don't rush it. I mean, he's by far the most valuable player you have right now in terms of value, in terms of what he could do to this team. So, yeah, don't rush it. It's week 4? I mean, just a whole season ahead of us for him to get on track. So my next question, I guess, for you would be then, right now you have Corey Burke playing well. You have Sergio, who obviously played well. But Carranza was out last match, but yet he has shown some promise after the Montreal match. I mean, who do you think starts up top then for Jim?
I mean, obviously, if Corey and Sergio are both healthy, I can imagine him playing the exact same team. Well, I can imagine him going the exact same lineup that won against San Jose, really, I think. Why not? I mean, obviously, you don't really want to change your winning formula. You looked off the back of two successful results. I know NYCFC present a different task. But I could see him. It would be the Jim Curtin way to not change any of the lineup. So, I mean, again, obviously, Carranza had some bright spots in his first two games before being recarded. But I think I can imagine him potentially starting on the bench this weekend.
Yeah, I could see him starting mainly because they don't want to burn Sergio out also. I mean, he did just play like 98 minutes and he got, like I said, he got roughed up. If you watch the game on the telecast, you could see him like limping off the field, like kind of having that hobble. So I wouldn't be opposed to having Carranza and Burke as long as Sergio saw about 25 minutes or so off the bench. That's preferred for me personally. I guess the bigger thing is the fact that Nathan Harriel is almost definitely a starter now. I mean, he's basically locked up that position. I thought he played well again. I didn't think he played great, but I thought he played solid. But I think what you see from Nathan is what I was mentioning before you hopped on was the fact that you don't see Olivier winning head balls towards net to shoot at the net. We've seen Nathan do this now two or three times where he can get up for a header and take a shot on net. That's a new thing with him that I feel like Olivier was just lacking, that aggressiveness to get up there. I like the fact that he's going to start again. You go for it.
Yeah, I think you don't really change what's working, what's been successful in terms of your back sort of back line. It's good to see, again, another homegrown player stepping up and just taking his opportunity, because I think Nathan was I don't know how to explain it, sort of, he was in and around the squad last year, but he wasn't a consistent start. He wasn't a player that you're sort of down on the depth chart. Even if Olivier was out, obviously, he had Alvis Powell. It was sort of the forgotten one of the homegrown player that broke through last year. So, obviously, it's good to see him. I think this year he could end up playing, he could be going from the sort of the forgotten one to the most important of the five of the four or five homegrown players around the team.
Yeah, I mean, and also it's funny because like Bedoya has been playing better. And I mean, how much is that tied into Nathan being there? Is it, you know, they're all on the same side after all. But think about how much more dangerous your attack is now, opposite of Kai Wagner, to have somebody. And even if you look at Nathan's crosses, I mean, he's had some pretty impressive crosses from what I've seen so far. I mean, he's just really good on the ball. And defensively, I trust him a lot more than Olivier right now. I mean, I just don't see how anyone can take him out of the field. And just, you know, if he starts making mistakes down the road, so be it. But you kind of ride the hotter hand until, you know, shown otherwise. But in terms of this match, you know, I said before you joined that I would be happy with the draw. I don't expect a win, but I'd be happy just because of their history in that stadium. What are your expectations for this coming match?
I probably wouldn't say whether the gym. I think if you can get out of there with the positive results, again, I think the last game they played was a difficult game for the Union. I think the Union, not just in terms of the franchise, the fan base and everything, because of just how everything went down, really. I mean, obviously, NYCFC also coming off a grueling CCL game where they literally scraped through by the skin of their teeth. So again, they're not going to be perhaps 110% either. They won't be coming into the game at 100% and fully focused. So I think, you know, maybe the Union could take advantage of sort of that tiredness. They've had to travel as well across Central America, play on a horrible pitch, and then come back over to the US and play a game in, well, that cesspool of a stadium. Christ, I don't know whose idea is to still play on that, or even the one they haven't even decided just to build their own stadium yet. I think, as I said, I think, again, you take the point, but again, obviously, the way that the game ended last year, and sort of you could possibly spin it as a positive. Like, you know, they were so close and they were so competitive with more of like a second lineup last year with players that perhaps you wouldn't expect to be playing for the team or have start such an important game for the team. So who knows? I mean, they've got the first road win this season already. I mean, it took them over like 5 months to see one road win at one point last year. So who knows? Maybe they could shock everyone and make it 2 out of 2.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you know, you started out the way you want to start out. Outside of the first, actually, you know what? I'm gonna start with this. Last year, we said a few times that we wanted to see a complete performance from the Union from start to finish. They had just an overall good game, right? Mm-hmm. Besides the first 50 to 60 minutes against Minnesota, I feel like they've played well in each of their matches since, and I feel like they've been involved. They haven't looked out of place. They haven't looked unorganized. They haven't looked, you know, unprepared. They've been involved. I mean, besides Nathan Harriel's freak own goal against Montreal, they played fairly well against him, despite the turf, despite having to travel up there. And of course, against San Jose, it wasn't even close. I mean, they were basically controlling the whole match. San Jose had a couple chances here or there, but really, it was the Union's match from start to finish. So what I've liked so far is the fact that they've been so consistent throughout the entire match rather than just simply playing well for 50 minutes and fall asleep for the, you know, for 25, 30 minutes. So that's something that gives me a lot of encouragement for tomorrow's match. That being said, of course, Dave, if you missed last week's show, I said on air that I was going to say Philadelphia Union 2-0, Daniel Gazzaga was going to score, and Mika Uwe was going to score. So if you ever do a parlay on FanDuel, if one of your players is like ruled out, or if you have a void on one of your legs, the other two still count and you end up winning. So I just put like a couple bucks down and I ended up waking up the next morning with like $75 in my account. So I was like, oh crap. So clearly this is a gambling show now, Dave, for the Philadelphia Union. So to give you an idea of tomorrow's lines, NYCFC is -160. The Philadelphia Union are +380. And then the draw is at +280. The goal scorers, the anytime goal scorer, the leader is, of course, Castellanos at +100, Heber +150, the handful of NYC players as the anytime goal scorer. The first Union goal scorer is Corey Burke at +360. If you want to go Carranza, 480. So what are you thinking in terms of a correct score, and what are you thinking in terms of a possible goal scorer here?
I mean, I know, as I said, that the chance of a win was a possibility. I think the draw probably is the more likely result. I mean, you could say it's a safer result. I'd probably go 1-1. I think the Union, again, I think the three games so far this season, they've looked fairly solid, bar the Montreal game. And I think, as well as you said, like we've seen at points this year that they've played consistently. You know, they've played a consistent match. I think the Montreal one was arguably the only one that they didn't really do so. I think they weren't sloppy in that first half of Montreal, but they weren't at like, you know, 1,000. They weren't, you know, on top of the game, or they weren't, you know, that's hard to explain. But then again, at the start of the second half as well, that they got caught napping. They were caught asleep for that Mihailovic goal, which was fortunately ruled out for offside. And luckily they managed to capitalise on those things, and that somehow woke every single one of those players up, and they went on to win the game 2-1. They were two goals in 2 minutes, basically. But again, I think if they can come away with a point in this game, it's a point gained as opposed to a point dropped, and you look at this going, oh, they should have won that. You know, I think if you can get a positive result here and then go on to the Charlotte game with 8 points from your first four games, or even somehow they pull out a win, they get 10 points in the first four games, then a really, really positive position. So, you know, not only prop up the Eastern Conference, but potentially somehow, maybe, you know, never know, make a run at the Supporters Shield again.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically, you know, you're starting out this hot. You know, everything's up for play. Everything's up for grabs at this point when you start out this well in the season. Yeah, I agree. I think also about the Charlotte game. For some of the people on Twitter who may have heard me say I'm going to be at the Charlotte game, I'm not. I'm actually going to be at the next game on April 9th. So my schedule got switched around, so I will not be there April 2nd. I will be there April 9th, so I will see whoever there. I think Jose, if he's watching, I told him I was going to be at the Charlotte game. So cross me off the list there. I'll be there next week after. But in terms of the any time goal scorer, Dave, who do you think puts in the back of the net tomorrow, whether it be for NYC or for the Union?
I think obviously again the Union is sort of one that, as we've seen so far this year. I mean, Gazdag's obviously the team's top goal scorer already.
Him and Burke.
Yeah, I mean those two. Particularly go with the hot hand, maybe Corey Burke to score. That's about the only other thing I can think of. Although it may end up being a player that we don't really expect. Could be Jose Martinez. It could be one of the two central defenders. I mean, who knows? Maybe Carranza comes on, and scores his first Union goal.
Yeah, when you have that small little pitch, everything's so jammed together. And the ball could just ricochet out to, you know, freaking Nathan, and boom, he puts in the back of the net because he's just so much closer than he normally would be in that kind of small environment. But so I'll give a couple bets here. So if you do a 1-1 draw and Corey Burke scores, you have a $2 bet, gets you $53. So it's reasonable, right? I think it's a fair enough bet. I like that, Dave. I'm gonna put that in there. 1-1 correct score plus Corey Burke anytime goal score. Plus 2682. I like it. I'm in agreement. So in terms of the score, I mean it could be 2-2. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that's. I don't know if Blake allows two goals personally.
Yeah. I mean,
the defense has been playing bad necessarily. But once Olivier kind of got taken out, I feel like they've been more solid overall. They had those couple moments here or there, though, those lapses. Again, like we saw with Montreal, that brief moment on the goal that got taken back. Even against San Jose, opened up the first 5 minutes of that second half a bit like on fire. They're ready to kind of get a goal. So despite me saying they have been playing better, there have been still small pieces here or there. So I wouldn't be completely surprised if it was 2-2, but it would be a little bit surprised because they've overall been better. But I'm going to go the same thing with you. I'm actually going to just go draw. I think they're going to draw. Rather than simply and the correct score, so the plus 280 draw. And for the goal scorer, I think you're right. I think it's going to be somebody different this week because the odds are that Burke and Gazdag aren't both going to score again. I mean, typically, they don't score every single match. I think there's some value in Ali Bedoya maybe getting one. If not, Leon Flock, maybe they find a way to kind of get a ricochet into the back of the net. Yeah. So I'm going to take a flyer on I'm going to take a flyer on Bedoya. Why not?
I was going to say, imagine the chaos if a Union right back finally scores a goal and it's not at Subaru Park.
Do you think I should do it? Should I put Harry L in here? I'm doing it.
A Union right back ever scored? I mean, obviously, there was the whole sort of like waiting for Ray Gaddis to finally score. People having like bottles of champagne ready to, you know, cork open if he did score. I mean, as a right back for the Union ever scored?
That's a good question. I can't remember the last time a right back has scored. I'm sure maybe before I became a fan. So I started becoming a fan in 2012. So it's possible that was before that. Ray has been the right back for God knows how freaking long. I can't remember the last time he wasn't.
So maybe Keegan Rosenberg. That's another guy I can think of.
Yeah, probably. He would have to have been it then. If anybody knows, that's a great question. When's the last time a right back scored for the Union? Because I feel like it had to have been someone in the last 9 years. Dave, I'm going to go with it. Draw and Nathan Harriel to score a goal plus 13,282. $5 gets me $664. I'm doing it. I'm doing it live. A draw and Nathan scores a goal. Here we go. If this hits, I'm going to start taking lottery bets because at this point I'm on fire. So a couple small plays for us to kind of make it interesting here. But go ahead.
So I think it was Keegan Rosenberg, which was the last Union player to score. Well, a right Union, my bad, score in 2018. I mean, again, I mean, remember like that long, long time ago. I remember when he was sort of viewed as like the up and coming next big thing at the right back position.
Yeah, they sent him out to Colorado. Yeah, probably, I think was it 2019? What was it? When did it, does it say when they traded him in whatever website you're looking at?
Yeah, look, I think he was traded in 2019. So, yeah, it was either like at the end of 2018 or just the start of 2019. Yeah, it was in 2019.
Yeah, the years become kind of blurred after a while. Once you do this, when you watch the team so long, some of these things get blurred together with when somebody got dealt. But either way, you know, we wanted to do a shorter show today because, you know, like I said, Dave's had a long week. I've had a freaking long week. My kid's been under the weather. So cut it short today. Again, tomorrow, 1 p.m., the Philadelphia Union will be going to NYCFC to battle them in their home baseball park. We expect the Union to possibly get a draw. I'd be happy with a 1-1, 2-2 draw. I just want to see a competitive game. If you can come out there with a win, so be it. And our goal scorers for tomorrow are Corey Burke and Nathan Harriel. We're going to feel lucky with him, the right back. But other than that, Dave, any other last thoughts before we sign off tonight?
Nothing. Again, it's sort of going to be an interesting one. So again, this is sort of a mini retribution game for the Union. I mean, last time we saw NYCFC, a lot of people's hearts were broken in the most heartbreaking of fashions, at death of extra time. And you know, the Union have done so well just to stick it out, tough it out, and keep it tight throughout the entire game. I don't know if it was extra time or the end of normal regulation. Was it extra time?
What, NYC?
Yeah.
What, when they in the playoff game?
Yeah.
It was regulation. It was regulation because Olivier had the very end of it.
I know it was obviously right at the end of the game. I'm not sure if it went to extra time. Again, I mean, the Union was so close to taking this extra time or, you know, even potentially going down the end and scoring the late winner. They tailed them off or they battled them for so long, even after taking the lead. So again, I think it'd be a big game. It'd be a big game of motivation for Jim Curtin as well. So I guess it could be the argument of, look, they're off playing in places like Guatemala and things like that, when possibly that should be us, guys. We should be the ones doing that. You know, we came that far. Again, interesting to see that they no disrespect to the Guatemala league, but I mean, NYCFC just scraped through and away goals against the best team in Guatemala, who obviously aren't known for their footballing. Their footballing prowess. I mean, that could be something to keep an eye on as well. They're leaky. The fact they leaked and conceded a fair amount of goals in midweek against them.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting to see the motivation behind this. You know, does NYC come in here kind of like, we just played a kind of a rough match? You know, do we kind of just try to squeak out a draw and call it a day? Or how motivated are the Union to come in there saying, hey, listen, you know, they embarrassed us in front of our fans. They, you know, they took away what was ours. They're out there living their CCL dreams and their title dreams, and we had it. And there's a lot of motivation behind it. I don't think that Jim Curtin focuses on it too much because knowing him, he's trying to keep these guys, you know, level-headed, don't get too carried away. But I want to see that bit of anger coming out of the Union. I want to see Jose Martinez again, like I mentioned last week. I want to see him come out angry. Make some great tackles. He's been playing great this year, so I want to see him keep it up. But basically covers our work tonight, Dave. Thank you for joining me. I appreciate it.
I apologize. I mean, I saw 8:30. It was like 1:30 a.m. my time. So I mean, perfect. I got a bit of time, and then obviously I look at my phone. I was like, oh god, no, it's daylight saving, isn't it?
It's all right, man. I'm sure that you will have to carry me at one point down the road. So you'll owe me one bit later in the future there.
Right. No, I apologize, man. I think, I think our clocks go back before you do. So it ends up being like 6 hours, I think, for a little bit, the difference between the two. So, I mean, that'll be when it gets more fun.
Yeah, we're juggling the international waters, guys. Bear with us here. But either way, we've made it through the show. Have a good one, guys. Enjoy your Friday night. We'll chat with you all tomorrow. Doop.